This is Whit Anderson from Random Pizza, and you're listening to Codeless.
I knew I was kind of interested in entrepreneurship, but didn't have much experience in tech. I had some ideas around software, and I didn't have the ability to build.
Oh my God, this is immediately like the greatest thing ever. Like, who doesn't want to be surprised by a pizza?
I mean, I was a god to my roommates. They loved getting pizza for dinner. And me too, I didn't want what I was cooking.
When you get the two pizzas, it feels free in that moment to just be surprised by having two pizzas show up.
I work in healthcare for COVID testing. Over the past 2 months, it can definitely get a little draining. Each time that I've received the random pizzas is one of those bright moments.
You know, you could push for more than $19.99 there. You can probably go like up to 50 or 60.
It's all about serendipity. Serendipity as a service.
No matter what happens, you've got to hang on.
So we're here, episode 19. This is part A of a two-part episode with one of my favorite makers and friends. Whit Anderson is the maker of Random Pizza. Yeah, that Random Pizza subscription that was featured on Product Hunt. Whit and I are members of a weekly no-code meetup out of Atlanta. It's called Zero to One. When I presented the idea for Codeless at our meetup, Whit was one of the first people who pushed me to ship this product. He's definitely what I call a poetic maker because of his ability to give profound and renewed relevance to things that we take for granted, especially as we get older. Random Pizza goes beyond the gimmick to feed one of our most innate desires, which is to make and share lasting memories and experiences. The joy of getting pleasantly surprised with something you like will never lose its power. In fact, I think joy is one of the best hacks to aging slower. Let's get right into it with a brief intro from Whit. Enjoy. Oh, and one more thing. Don't forget to join the club. Sign up as a member of Codeless by going to codeless.co/#members. You'll be the first to know about exclusive content and new projects I'm producing. Okay, let's get to that intro from Whit.
I'm Whit Anderson, and I'm located in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a low-code maker. So I'm non-technical, building early stage products and trying to validate them. Most recently, I've built Random Pizza, which is kind of exactly how it sounds. It's a subscription service that once a month randomly delivers you two pizzas. Been doing that for about 2 months now and been experimenting with my early users.
So Whit, thanks for coming on Codeless, man.
I'm excited. Thank you for having me. I've listened to the first 8-9 episodes and I'm excited to be here.
So, okay, for our listeners, they have to understand the context here. So Codeless actually like came to life in a room with you and KP and Chris in it. So this podcast wouldn't have been if you hadn't literally said, yes, do it. So I really want to just thank you for pushing me to take this crazy idea and make it real. Speaking of crazy ideas, I think you have one of the craziest and most profound ideas. We're going to get into Random Pizza shortly, but I want to let the listeners know that we're both part of the No Code Meetup here in Atlanta. We're part of this ball of wax that is gaining momentum and helping encourage a lot of people to do more with no code. Let's just start with your origin story.
I got my first taste of entrepreneurship when I joined an idea accelerator at the University of Georgia. And so you basically come in with an idea and you go through all of the baby steps of validating the idea, testing it, building it. And then finally, after the 8 weeks, you do a pitch competition in front of a lot of people. I knew I was kind of interested in entrepreneurship, but didn't have much experience in tech. And so it was my way of going through the startup process with no risk. It didn't take up too much time. I was still very young, college student, didn't take up money. And so I was able to make a lot of the silly mistakes a little bit early. I built a physical product. I had an idea around the Amazon Alexa Dot. And it was basically a 3D print where you could put the Amazon Alexa Dot in and it would amplify the sound via acoustics. And so kind of like if you've ever put your iPhone in a solo cup, it will channel that sound and push it out through the holes of the side. And the plan was for the products to look like popular pop culture fixtures or figures. So the original one was an R2-D2. You can go to smartmate.webflow.io to see the final product once it's 3D printed. Eventually kind of went through that whole process and had to part ways because the character licensing was very difficult to do. But it was a good first taste of entrepreneurship.
What was the biggest thing you learned?
I think I went too long with this idea. I probably worked 4 to 6 months too long on this post the accelerator. And it's kind of my way to continue entrepreneurship. But I realized I can do more scalable things like software. And that's when I got attracted to no code because I started coming up with ideas that were around software, that were around building communities.
So what else happened after SmartMate?
So yeah, basically I had some ideas around software and I didn't have the ability to build. I knew what Squarespace and Wix were, but I needed something that had a little more functionality. And so through this meetup, I started building projects in Webflow and Typeform. So I built a couple products, one called Ad Hunt, which was a way for people who were about to post on Product Hunt to get an advertiser to put a native ad on their site. Because most people, if they have a good launch on Product Hunt, they'll get anywhere from 2,000, 5,000, 8,000 site visitors. So I was trying to see if there was a way where you could do a short-term advertisement on your Product Hunt launch day. Next was Atlanta Startup Things, and it's basically just a curated list of the Atlanta startup resources, so venture capital firms, incubators, accelerators, startup hubs, meetups, all that good stuff. And that kind of brings us to the last couple months, which is where I've been allocating a lot of time to a new idea called Random Pizza.
So you started out working with Webflow and Typeform, right?
Yeah.
Was that recommended to you or you did a bunch of research and honed in on Webflow?
I think I got a little lucky. I joined the group and one of the members, Chris Travers, showed me some of his projects and I was in awe. And so I jumped into that and there was definitely a steep learning curve at first.
So you literally started from scratch with Webflow.
I think the way I learned was I didn't necessarily build from scratch. Webflow has a great clonable section. I would clone projects I really liked, and then I would edit them, move features around, and I would see how good the Webflow makers built. And so just through kind of seeing how they built their sites that looked good, I learned how Webflow worked.
That's very interesting to hear, especially for people that are new. Some folks are looking for the perfect formula on tools to use. How long did it take you?
Probably about a week for this first site. A lot of it was asking questions to the community. I took no courses on Webflow. I know they have really good Webflow courses, but it was just easier for me to just start doing it because I had an idea to launch.
All right, cool. Let's talk about your most recent project so far. Let's get baked.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get baked. Cool. So yeah, my most recent project, it's randompizza.io. It is pretty close to what it sounds like. And it's a subscription that's $20 a month, and it delivers you two pizzas at a random time. Those pizzas come at the same time, and a lot of times people will sign up and send it to their workplace or to their home, and they'll share with their coworkers or their family or their roommates or whoever's around. This idea also originated from the same meetup, the same group of makers. I brought in the initial idea. I was like, is this even viable? Is this stupid? Is it silly? And it was a dumb idea objectively, but it was kind of dumb in a way that attracted people to it. And so I built it out.
Wow. One of the reasons I love Random Pizza is that the idea is so crazy. You have to do a double take and say, what? Wait, it's a subscription to get a random pizza delivered. So tell us about how the business works. Like, we know it's a subscription for Random Pizza, but like, if I'm a customer and I don't know what I'm going to get when I sign up, just talk me through that.
So yeah, the way it works is you sign up, then you'll get a form that you can set your preferences, which is the basic stuff, name, phone, email. Then the next is you choose your pizza topping. So right now we're keeping it basic. It's just cheese and pepperoni. You can pick from those two. Then Next is you select your address or addresses. And so most people are picking one address. And then I ask, what's the rough time gap that you're at these places? And so when people put their work, it varies, but it's somewhere around 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Once I have that information, they go into my database. And over the first month, I've been sending pizzas manually.
So just for the folks listening, this dumb idea has subscribers, and it was voted number 5 product of the day on Product Hunt. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's dumb anymore.
Yeah, it's looking that way.
So you have subscribers. What has been the reaction so far from the people who've actually used the product?
It's been pretty good. I've talked to some customers. I sent out some email surveys and then had some DM chats with people. And it's kind of funny. People are anxious. It's kind of interesting where people are kind of thinking about it. Like, is my pizza coming today? I think that's a little exciting.
Wow. So there's FOMO about pizza now.
A little bit. Yeah. I thought if I signed up for a service like this, I would kind of completely forget about it. And I'm sure a lot of people have done that. But I got 3 emails in the last 2 days saying I didn't get my pizza. And it wasn't because I didn't send the pizza. It was because there's still days left in their full 30-day span where I can send pizzas.
Hey there. So I had a cool idea right here. Rather than let Whit wax on about the random pizza subscriber experience, I got some of them to join in on our Zoom call. Full disclosure though, some of them might have just received a random pizza delivery. So you could say they're fully baked. Enjoy. All right, so we've got Whit Anderson from Random Pizza, but interestingly, we've got a couple users on the line. We've got Ryan, Andy, and KP.
Good to be on the podcast. This is pretty sweet.
Hello. Great to be here.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Awesome. We're going to start with you, Ryan. You're a real customer, right?
I am.
So how did you hear about this service?
So I know Whit pretty well, and he knows I love pizza. And he didn't bring it to me as his idea. He brought it to me as, hey, you love pizza. What do you think of like this goofy thing I saw? And he sent me a link and it took me to a landing page. Oh my God, this is immediately like the greatest thing ever. Like who doesn't want to be surprised by a pizza? And I click out of it. And the first thing I send back to Whit is, oh my God, yes. How do I actually sign up? He tells me like, oh, it's not done yet. I was like, are you working with this? I mean, it's silly, but I think Random Pizza is something that a lot of people will be interested in. If you love pizza and you like being surprised, you'll like it. KP, what do you think?
Yeah, fully agree. But I thought when he first mentioned, I thought it was one of those like random things he's just talking about, but he kept bringing it back over and over again. And I was like, okay, so how far down the line are you with this idea? And he said, well, I mean, I think there's something here, KP, I want to do this. And in my mind, the way I saw it was, it's like the ultimate slot machine, right? Nobody would be upset of having a pizza at the front door. Even people who were in the middle of having lunch or dinner would not be upset of having a free pizza. And I remember talking to him and like giving him the ultimate nudge and saying like, you got to ship this, man. This has to exist in the world. And not because he's my friend, but purely out of curiosity and just like to be one of the beta users of Random Pizza, my wife and I, we signed up. And it's been 5 months, I think, 6 now. And we've been loving it every single month.
That's really cool to hear. So I'm going to come back to you, Ryan. What was your first impression? When was the last time you got a pizza?
So I thought when I first clicked on this page, I would have been dealing with something that already had like 15,000 subscribers. The page had a lot of personality and kind of poked fun at itself, knowing that it's silly, but at the same time was able to make you excited about signing up. As far as my experience goes, I have been surprised every single time. There has not been a single time that I was expecting to have a pizza show up, and that's definitely what you want. It's nice that it allows you to say, I'm going to be here during this time, you can send it then, or I'm going to be here during that time, whether it be work or home. As far as how it's moved on since the very beginning, I just got one recently, and it was the first time it not being Domino's, which I thought was cool. I kind of liked the fact that they might start mixing it up and having some different types of pizzas, making it even a little bit more random. But random pizzas is never really going to get old to me, so as long as I'm in it, I'm going to be happy.
Wait, hold on. Are you actually eating pizza right now?
There might be a couple slices in the back room.
So you're having random pizza on a Codeless episode about random pizza.
Yes, that is correct.
Wow. Whit, talk about having your customers stay on brand.
Yeah, that's what we want. I'm glad it showed up at the right time.
Hey, Andy, how did you hear about random pizza?
So I, like the other two, had first heard through word of mouth. And when I was first approached with it, I thought, wait, what is this? Did a little bit of my own digging. And soon after that, what really, I think, set me onto it was the way that it blew up on Product Hunt. And that first day, it slowly rose through the ranks to be one of the highest ranked products. Clicked on it, and I too, like them, have been subscribed for, God, it's got to be 5 months now or more.
Wow. How do you compare your experience of the service now as to like that moment when you first heard about it?
Oh, I really have enjoyed it. Compared to what Ryan was saying, I want to say for the first maybe two shipments I had of random pizza, they both occurred just as the moment I was actually cooking dinner on the stove. I mean, I was a god to my roommates. They loved getting pizza for dinner. And me too, I didn't want what I was cooking. I think that there really have been consistent improvements to the user interface. A couple months into my subscription, emails from Whit saying, hey, we'd like to hear your feedback. Do you want to change what type of pizza you're getting right now? I think it's really grown and adapted to become even more user-friendly. And now that the word is getting out, I tell friends every day about it, and they love the idea.
That's really cool. So, Andy, is it safe to say that you've been programmed to expect a pizza whenever you're cooking?
Yes. I think the next step will be, gourmet meals nice. Placed on the table. Doorbell rings.
Nice. All right. So I got to ask this question, right? So Wick created Random Pizza, and it's a really cool service, but like you could get your own pizza, right? You could order your own pizza. So Ryan, my question for you is like, how does this compare to ordering a pizza yourself? Like, does it taste any better, any worse? Like how does it compare?
Does it taste any better, any worse? Taste is the same. It's definitely exciting to get it with it being a subscription service. When you get the two pizzas, it feels free in that moment to just be surprised by having two pizzas show up. You don't think that you're paying for Netflix every time you get on Netflix. Like when you get the call saying, hey, your pizzas are downstairs, can you come grab them? It just feels like so spur of the moment. It doesn't feel like money left my pocket in that exchange.
Ryan, have your pizzas shown up at any like particular time, any commonality?
So I have it set up for me to get it delivered to my apartment. I work from home, so my lunch time was like between like 12 and 3. It allows me to know whether or not I need to make something for dinner that night, because otherwise I might just be eating two pizzas.
KP, I'm going to come to you. So like, what's the difference between this and just ordering a pizza yourself?
Well, the taste obviously is the same. To echo Ryan's point, the day on which you pay for this and the day when you actually receive the service are totally different days. By the time you actually get it at the door, you almost feel like it's free. And there's a sense of like excitement and surprise. And like when you find an old pair of jeans, you find a $20 in the pocket and you're like, ooh, it's obviously your money. You're not stealing from someone else. It's almost like you're intending to find the $20 bill, right? With maybe you should actually offer yearly plans. Yeah, if I just pay ahead of time yearly, maybe you can give me a discount, but that would be an insane rush, like to get every month a random pizza show up and I just don't even have to think about it. Could be a great Christmas gift as well. For guys especially, like what kind of gifts do I need no more? Like this would be a fun gift.
I think when I was first building it, I didn't know if people would even sign up for random pizzas, but nowadays that could definitely be an option.
Andy, I want to come to you. And first I want to ask you, how has random pizza been different from ordering a regular pizza? And second, what product improvements would you recommend for Wit?
Those are great questions. So for me right now, I'll say this definitely feels much different than what would be ordering a regular pizza. I work in healthcare. So for the past 2 to 3 months, I've actually been at one of our specimen collection sites for COVID testing. Over the past 2 months, it's almost become a tiring routine. It can definitely get a little draining. I found that in looking back, some of the most happy moments that have occurred are when those events of spontaneity will pop up. And I think I can look back and remember each time that I've received the random pizzas is sort of one of those bright moments. Just to have something that's surprising come through a monotonous day can sort of be a bright light, as little as that is.
Listen, Andy, I also want to thank you for the work you're doing, because you're out there trying to help us flatten this COVID-19 curve. So let me ask you this. What if we could get someone who wants to show their appreciation to buy a subscription of random pizza for a hospital wing or a couple people that work at a hospital? Would that take, you think?
Oh, I think that's a fantastic idea. I mean, to be honest, for the past 2 months, our care team members out here, they've been eating lunch every day from restaurants that have donated food from the kindness of their hearts. To have an option to maybe support someone in a difficult time on the front lines of this, yeah, that could be powerful.
Maybe you can reach out to the community and say, hey guys, we have a couple people who are working in healthcare. It's almost like a buy me a coffee thing, mm-hmm. right? Maybe we can reach out and ask the community to see if anybody's interested in, because I would be.
You'd be interested in buying a pizza for a health worker?
Yeah, buying a pass or buying a pizza.
Wow, wait, we have like, what, 4 new product development ideas here. Brian, I got to ask you this. So if random pizza never makes you feel like you lost money and it kind of makes you feel like you found value, what else could we randomize? Like, what else would this work for?
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. I mean, maybe just random food in general. Get a random meal shipped to you. Don't even know what the food's going to be, but it could just be one entree and side type of a thing. If it was going to be random, the thrill would just be not having any clue what this random food might show up on your door. You don't think about it much. You pay your monthly subscription fee, and then maybe 3 times a month, you kind of think about it for a second. You're like, ooh, I wonder if today's the day that I get the random pizza. And most of the time it's not, but when it does cross your mind, you're just kind of reminded by the fact that at some point this month, I'm going to be surprised.
I have a crazy idea. Ryan just is spitting out great stuff and just making me think.
Yeah, he is.
But it would be really interesting to explore, especially in this COVID-19 scenario where local businesses are impacted heavily, right? It would be really interesting to explore if Whit offered me through his email, through an Airtable form or something, like 10 local Atlanta bakeries, restaurants, whatever these are, like a variety of things, right? And let me pick the 4 that I really love. And that could be randomized too. And I feel like I'm actually really causing change in this way, because I'm really directly impacting local businesses. And I think that would be really interesting. And you can push for more than $19.99 there. You can probably go like up to 50 or 60, because I don't have the mental bandwidth to sit down and think about all the local 10, 20 restaurants being impacted. If somebody does it for me, Atlanta-wide, I think that would be really interesting.
Interesting. Wow. So Whit, it looks like the magic sauce of random pizza is really not in the pizza or how much you pay. It's in the randomness and the discovery that you're enabling for people.
Yeah, it's all about serendipity. Serendipity as a service.
Whit, I got to ask you, like, what's your impression now of running random pizza, especially in this time of COVID-19? Like, how has it changed you or how you think about it?
As far as the physical operations of everything, it's gotten even easier to run random pizza, because the success rate is just 100% at this point. So as far as consumer experience, I think it's shot up. Everyone's lives are kind of just so dull. Like, every day is kind of running together. You're working from home, you're watching Netflix at home, you're Zooming at home. So getting that pizza, I found like people kind of bounce off the walls once they do get that call. One of the customers, they said like they were sitting at home working and then got a knock on the door and their 3 children were just going wild. I think it was maybe their first pizza they had gotten, but their kids enjoyed the experience far more than the person who was purchasing the service.
Okay, I got to throw my hat into the ring, because I have an idea for random pizza. And if you don't do it, I'm going to be forced to do it. I want something where I can pay money for a subscription for t-shirts, but the t-shirts have the inscriptions of tweets that I've liked on Twitter.
stuff that I like from people that I follow. And yeah. I never know when I'm going to get it. And I never know what it's going to be. But maybe I get the t-shirt with one of like Sahil's really wise quotes about Gumroad and the experience. I love that idea. What do you think?
I would sign up for something like that. There's definitely some value. And first off, those are pretty awesome shirts in general. Having like a tweet box on your shirt that has like some evergreen quote or something on it. Yeah, I'm game to explore it if you want to join me.
Great, great. All right. Well, Ryan, Andy, I want to thank you for joining us for a minute here. Is there anything you'd like to say before we move on?
Yeah, I'll say something. I don't know too much about it, but just about codeless products and like getting things out there without actually coding things. I think that's an incredible thing. Obviously, it's been pretty incredible to see what Wood's been able to do with this, not only with Random Pizza, but with a bunch of different ideas that he's had. So not so much about Random Pizza, but I do think this whole codeless movement can be a pretty exceptional thing, can get a lot of people a lot of opportunities. So I think it's pretty sweet what you guys are doing.
Thank you for that, Ryan. We really appreciate it. Andy, anything from you?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. It's been really cool to see an idea that is so simple in nature take off to the extent that it has. But I think that's a lot of innovation today, is taking a simple process we don't often consider in our daily lives and kind of turning it upside down on its head.
Perfect. Yeah. We're thankful to have you, and we're thankful that you actually believed in Wit enough, because if not, this idea wouldn't have legs. So because of you, the idea is running.
Yeah, I want to say thank you, Andy, Ryan, KP. I'm incredibly grateful for y'all being subscribers for 5 months and giving me ideas and feedback on the service, and then definitely hopping on today and giving us an hour of your time. I'm so grateful to y'all.
All right, guys. Thank you. We'll see you later.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks again.
No matter what happens, you've got to hang on.
We'll continue the rest of the interview with Wit Anderson in part 2, which will be out very soon. Stay tuned for a random release of part 2 in a couple of days, give or take. Oh, and one more thing. Sign up as a member of Codeless by going to codelesspodcast.co/#members. You'll be the first to know about exclusive content and new projects I'm producing. Stick around or skip ahead for some additional thoughts from our guests. Please rate and review us on your favorite listening platform. It helps us get discovered by more people who want to unlock creativity and accelerate transformation. You can reach us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube through the Codeless Podcast handle. Just search for the words Codeless and Podcast and you can't miss us. Or just go to codelesspodcast.co. All music provided through the appropriate licensing and permissions. Big thanks for the music to Steph Skilly, Bobby Oddsock, R Mark, 1313, Raising Sounds, and prod.nocredit. You can find more information and links in the show notes.
The impact of no code, at least to me, has been, it's allowed me to get the thoughts out of my head. I've come up with the ideas, and for months, I would plan out what it looks like, what the business model is. And it was all of the aspects that kind of didn't matter unless the customers were there. And so no code allowed me to actually build the things that were in my head and then quickly determine if customers did or didn't want my product. And many of the times they didn't, and I was able to move on quickly. So it's my way to move very fast on my early ideas. I think the next decade of no code, I think my guess would be there's going to be a lot more players in the system, and it's not going to be as much about the tech because you can validate so quickly. I think it's going to be about the thoughtfulness of the idea and getting that early audience. So it's a lot more about the storytelling than it is the digital aspect. Obviously, there's still going to be great digital products, but I think forming a story, building an audience, those are going to be the characteristics of really strong makers and founders.